Welcome to the Granary Church podcast. We're happy you could join us. For more information on the Granary Church, head to granary.org.au or follow our socials at the Granary Church.
Happy Easter. Can I borrow that stool there, Sam? Is that all right? Or just keep those there. My name's Josh, if we haven't met, and I have the privilege of sharing the word this morning and bringing some Easter eggs. Because it's Easter, so happy Easter. And this morning, love you too, Matt. If I'm going to give an Easter egg, I'll give some out in a second. Do you know, culturally, it's interesting. Easter eggs, we celebrate, you know, we like to eat them. It's new life, it's chocolate, it's any excuse to eat an egg. But have you heard of like cultural Easter eggs in movies or music? And people look for Easter eggs. They look for hidden meaning in things. Apparently, there's Star Wars references in everything. Like in Indiana Jones, there's little Star Wars references. And all these other movies, there's like they're little Easter eggs, these hidden little things shown. If you watch the movie Fight Club, which I can't recommend in church, but if you did, there's apparently a Starbucks cup in every single scene. Every scene. There's these little Easter eggs. And what's interesting is when Jesus was alive, he was essentially handing out Easter eggs the whole time. He's just leaving these little signs the whole time, a little sign of something, a little sign. And all his Easter eggs really pointed to the same thing. They were Easter eggs about the kingdom of God. And the whole time it's like he's going around and going, like, here's an Easter egg for you. It's the kingdom of God. You've been so keen for that, Isaac. And Eamon, it's your 49th birthday. So here's, here's an Easter egg for you, all right? He's not 49 though, but... How old are you? You know, you don't. It's a church. You can't. And Abby was like my favorite student in the whole world. So Easter egg for you, you know. And so we give out Easter eggs to people, and Jesus is going around giving Easter eggs. This is kind of weird. I've kind of found myself at the back of church now. But there you go, Maury. And so Jesus is walking around giving these Easter eggs of saying, here's the kingdom of God, right? And he's handing out these Easter eggs and constantly telling people, pointing people to something more. He's pointing them to the kingdom and giving them this taste. Because when you've had a bit of chocolate, what do you want more of? More chocolate. And you want to get more and more. And so he's pointing towards something, and he's pointing towards the kingdom of God. And people got this little taste and they're like, I want more. And if you've ever read the story of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, you know that when people had a little taste of chocolate, they wanted more chocolate. And then all of a sudden there's this opportunity to go into Wonka's factory and to see what his factory is really like. And there's been stories of hearing about this factory, this chocolate factory. And it sounds amazing, but no one's ever been. They've only ever heard the stories. They've only heard the Easter eggs. And I think, actually, have you seen the latest Wonka movie? It's amazing. Have a look at this.
Come with me.
All right.
And you'll be.
Well.
In a world of pure imagination.
It's a ruined castle.
Take a look and you'll see. Into your imagination.
Frankly, I rather doubt it.
We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation.
No, it does defy explanation.
If you want to view paradise, simply look around. Change the world, there's nothing to it.
Not bad.
There is no life I know to compare with your imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be.
All right, it's good, all right? But the more I watch that, the more I think about this, the more it actually points to the kingdom of God, because Wonka at the start says, like, come with me, he says, follow me, just like Jesus did. Jesus is walking around, handing out eggs, and then basically saying, follow me. Like, do you want to come with me? And I'm pointing to this vision of something amazing. And he's constantly pointing to this vision of something incredible, right? Imagine if Wonka's factory came to Newcastle on a tour. You'd be keen to go, wouldn't you? You'd buy a ticket. There's talk of a chocolate river. You can eat the grass. You can eat the walls. You'd buy a ticket, wouldn't you? I would. People in Glasgow did. They spent like $80 or $90 to go to a Wonka experience. Did you hear about this? A Wonka chocolate factory experience with all these AI images that was going to look amazing. It's going to be incredible. And you go and you'd truly experience what it would be really like. And it was this good.
I'm not joking. I paid £40 a ticket for this. Smallest bite of castle in the world. And I bet we have to pay for that food over there. What a waste of money. I don't know. Oh, look, it's a chocolate river.
So Wonka's chocolate's so delicious.
It was horrendous. Absolutely disappointing. And there's just the disappointment after disappointment, because what you've been promised is something amazing. And this poor mum, she spent like $90 a ticket for this thing for a family. Like they got their money back in the end. Like, can you imagine the disappointment if you're a parent dragging your kids through there going, I promised you something amazing. And this is like, this is beyond a joke. It's not even funny. This is horrendous. And I feel like there's so much disappointment that we can experience. And as a Christian, you might have experienced disappointment. As a human, you've experienced disappointment. And often it's our expectations aren't matched. We have expectations for something and they're not matched, like the Glasgow Wonka experience. It's like the expectation didn't come close. Yeah, there we go. Expectation versus reality. It's just horrendous. And so much of life is full of disappointment. It's so full of disappointment. Jesus is handing out these Easter eggs pointing to the kingdom, and he's pointing towards something that's going to be incredible. And the Jews had been waiting for a Messiah for a long time. And so when Jesus came, they were expecting him to be their guy, because he talked in a way a Messiah would, and he'd fulfilled prophecies, many, many prophecies without even trying, just where he was born and all these things he couldn't control. He'd fulfilled ancient prophecies. And then he performed miracles and he healed people and he proved that he had power. And so everyone is watching him saying, I think you're our guy. I think you're the one who's going to change things. You're going to go and take over Caesar's palace. You're going to overthrow everything. You're going to take over. This is going to be amazing. You're going to usher in this new kingdom and life is going to be fantastic. It's going to be like the chocolate factory 24/7. And then they watch as one of their friends betrays Jesus and hands him over to the guards. And they're like, no, still got a chance. There's still a chance Jesus can come back from this. And then they watch as Jesus is falsely accused and like, no, there's still a chance he can come through. And then they watch as Jesus is beaten. You're like, no, this we've still got a chance. This is actually just building our narrative. It's going to be even better. And then they watch as he has to drag his cross through the streets. And they watch as his hands are nailed into the cross and he's hoisted up. And at that moment, all hope isn't fully gone, because they're thinking, no, this is the ultimate moment. If he is truly the Messiah, this is the moment he can come back and prove how strong he is. He can prove it to everyone, and everyone will now know that Jesus actually is the Messiah. And then he died. And that's the ultimate disappointment. He was building and building and building, and then all of a sudden, nothing. It's heartbreaking. In Luke chapter 27, verse 47, we read this. It says, when the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshipped God and said, surely this man was innocent. We've just killed an innocent man. And when the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. They just stood in deep sorrow. That term deep sorrow is also translated as like they left beating their breasts. Like they left, it's this Jewish term for like heartfelt emotion. It could be triumph, but it could be absolute defeat, like anguish. And they left feeling anguish. It's more than disappointment. There's actually one of the 613 Hebrew laws, the mitzvot, one of them is to not tear your skin in grief. I think that's that feeling. Have you ever had that feeling? You're feeling so grief-stricken, so in so much pain, in so much disappointment, so much anguish that you could tear your skin. I think that is that feeling of ultimate disappointment. I've known that feeling, that pain. Where you go, there's no way up from here. This is it. That's where they are. That's where they're stuck. Actually, I remember years ago after we lost my brother who died suddenly, there was this song I'd sung, some band I liked, and it was this line, was just, if you made a way for Moses, could you make a way for me? And I think that's the sort of thing the Israelites would have been seeing too. The Hebrews, they would be saying, well, we've heard all our life about this Exodus story about a God who rescues, doing miracles. He can part seas and he can do all these phenomenal things. But he can't seem to bring Jesus back from the dead. And they're left there. They're just stuck for 3 days. Have you watched a movie more than once before? Or are you just a one-time movie person? When you watch a movie more than once, the second time you're never as anxious as the first, are you? You're like, you can feel it a little bit. You feel the tension, but you know what's going to happen. And we kind of have the benefit on Easter Sunday of going, well, we know that Jesus is victorious in the end. But we don't often live like that. We know on Easter Sunday, we go, yeah, he's risen, but I've still got to deal with all the crap of life. I still have to pay bills and deal with difficult people and put up with myself at times. And you know, like there's still stuff. So we don't always live in this victory because we don't know what the end is, or we can't see the end. We forget the end. But we know that 3 days later on Sunday morning, in fact, in the four Gospels, there's actually an account in all four of the women who walk to the tomb that morning. In one of them, it says they're discussing who will roll away the stone because they're not strong enough to roll away the stone. It's massive. They're just having normal conversation. They're prepared spices. They're like, we've got to go and take care of Jesus' dead body. It's normal life. And they're walking there and there's these four accounts. It's incredible. And they get there and the stone has been moved. And at first they're terrified because they think, well, someone has like grave robbed essentially. Someone's done something terrible. And they're worried until they see a figure in a blazing robe who tells them not to be afraid because they're afraid, as you would be. And then next minute they meet Jesus. They encounter Jesus and they fall at his feet. I love that he said, Mary says, Rabboni, like teacher. It's like all of a sudden she's like, I actually get it now. Everything makes sense. And they have this sense of he is who he said he is. Everything, all the little Easter eggs are starting to point to something. And all of a sudden they're like, Jesus is actually alive. Like he actually, even though he'd told us many times and we kept forgetting it, we actually know that he's alive. All right. And so, I want to read to you in 1 Corinthians 15. Actually, that's up here. Let's read this. It says this, and Paul writes this. He says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living. Essentially, he wrote that to say, you can ask them. Like he's not actually writing that for us. It's helpful for us, but he's right to the people he's writing for. He's like, most of them are still living. So if you aren't sure whether he was raised from the dead, there's over 500 people you can go and ask. So yeah, it's good history. Though some have fallen asleep, then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared also to me as to one abnormally born. Jesus came back and started appearing to people. He was showing himself. His resurrected body is actually amazing because he ate food. So if you read from the accounts, he ate food, but he had wounds, but he could also walk through walls. And I think a resurrected body just sounds pretty cool. But that's just an aside. So the news of Jesus started spreading. And people like Paul, they started to tell the news about Jesus. And what we often call that is the gospel. They're telling the gospel of Jesus, or the good news about Jesus, which is interesting because everyone is preaching a gospel. It's not, are you preaching the gospel? It's, what gospel are you preaching? And each one of us, Christian or not, we all preach some sort of gospel. And there are many gospels. There's gospels of anti-racism. There's gospels of human rights. There's gospels of nationalism. There's gospels of cold water therapy or CrossFit or mindfulness. You know, there's all these different gospels that we all tell and we all like to listen to. And if you're on social media, you'll hear different people telling you their gospel of basically how to find the good life, where our hope lies, where humanity is going, where danger lies, where salvation can be found, where community can be found, and how to live life as a good person. And for some people, cold water therapy is that. It's true, isn't it? No. A bunch of us have just done a Lent challenge for the last, 6 weeks with cold showers every day and a whole lot of other things. Did you have a warm shower today? Yeah, good. I don't know if it makes you a better person, but it makes you more aware of how much you need Jesus in your life, I'll tell you that. But people do this. Like, we do this with music, and we do this with sport and with movies, and like, we evangelize. Microsoft has evangelists. Like, they're literally called Microsoft evangelists, whose job is to go and tell people the good news about Microsoft. Which I don't know if it's good news, but anyway. So we tell people about things that we like. Like, I love telling people about music that I like. I can sit down and talk about it for ages. And I remember actually years ago, Eamon and I used to sit down and just talk guitars and pedals and things like forever. You'd think that we were disciples of the guitar pedal or something. You're like, maybe we were. That's scary. It took half our money. So, but we preach a gospel. And what happens is when you move from disappointment to excitement or something that changes your life, you want to tell people about it. When you see a movie that you go, that's just, I didn't expect that. That changed something in me. You want to tell people about it. When you hear music, that you go, there's something in that song. Actually, that Wonka song, my brother-in-law was staying with us over summer and he played that song endlessly. He's like, this is the production and this is incredible. He's going on about it. He's like, this is amazing. And you tell people about the thing that you're passionate about. And when Jesus came back from the dead, people started to tell others about Jesus. And if we love Jesus, we talk about him. It's sort of what we should be doing in a way, isn't it? You know, we often say to people, you know, do you tell people about the gospel? We can ask that, you know, like ask different questions about evangelism. But I guess my question is, what actually is the gospel? What's the gospel? Because we often talk about this and as Christians, and I guess it's Easter Sunday, so it's kind of fitting that we actually look at that. Because the gospel is not, if you believe in Jesus, you can go to the good place when you die. That's not the gospel. I don't think anyone would change their life for that. Basically, it's not just a ticket to heaven. And often in the past, actually, I think it was from around the end of World War II, that's when the message actually kind of changed. And the gospel became that. Get your ticket to heaven. So yeah, I've got my ticket to heaven, but that doesn't change how you live today. So why would anyone give up their life for that? Because if you've got the ticket, like if I was going overseas soon, I've got my ticket. It doesn't really change what I'm going to do today. In fact, I'm not even going to pack my bags today if I'm going in a few weeks. I'll pack them the night before, like I do every single time I travel. I'm not going to change my life now. You're not going to change your life for something like that. So the gospel needs to be something that's life-changing. Mark summarized the gospel as this: the kingdom of God has come near. And Paul, his one-line summary is, Jesus is Lord. So Jesus is handing out Easter eggs. He's pointing towards one thing. I want to read you, actually, John Mark Comer, I think he's written the best description of the gospel. Can I read this to you? Says this: the gospel is that Jesus is the ultimate power in the universe and that life with him is now available to all. Jesus is the ultimate power and life with him is now available to all. Through his birth, life, teachings, miracles, death, resurrection, ascension, gift of the Spirit. Jesus has saved, is saving, and will save all creation. And through apprenticeship to Jesus, through following him, we can enter into this kingdom and into the inner life of God himself. We can receive and give and share in love loving. That's another term for God, love loving. We can be a part of a community that Jesus is ever so slowly forming into a radiant new society of peace and justice that will one day co-govern all creation with the Creator in an eternity of ever unfolding creativity and growth and joy. And anyone can be part of this story. That's the good news. I think that's good news. I was going to underline good sections. Actually, it looks like I kind of did, but I was going to underline some good sections. I couldn't underline any parts because I was like, they're all good. But at the end, anyone, we love to put people into groups or to say who's right and who's wrong or who can fit and who can't or who's got their life well enough together. And Jesus says, anyone, the person that you think is farthest from God, even yourself if you think you're farthest from God, anyone. If you think you're right and you've got it all together, you're included too. Anyone can be a part of this. So Jesus is the ultimate power. And what's interesting is when he died upon a cross, he's dying upon pieces of timber that he himself created. Timber that came from a tree that Adam and Eve essentially used to sin and bring about sin and brokenness. And then he was nailed to the same stuff that he made in order to reverse what had been broken. And so today we have an opportunity, first of all, just to say thank you. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you that you are now alive and you love me. But I want to give you an opportunity today to realign your life with the gospel. Whether you're a Christian or not, to say, actually, is this what I would give my life for? Is this what I'm following? Is this the gospel that I actually believe? Maybe you've been disappointed by a false gospel. Or maybe you've been disappointed by a person who preached a false gospel. I can promise you, you'll be disappointed by people. And if you haven't already, I would love to hear your story because that just sounds amazing. We'll be disappointed by people. You'll most likely be disappointed by the church. The reason being the church is full of people and people disappoint. They let people down because we're people. And when we have our expectations placed in the wrong things, that generally leads to disappointment. If we have our expectations set on something that is going to give us fulfillment that can't, you're going to wind up disappointed. But when you set your expectations on something that can't disappoint, well, then it's pretty obvious you can't be disappointed. And Jesus doesn't disappoint. In fact, it says right there, he is the ultimate power and life with him is available now to all. He is the ultimate power. And so for each one of us today, on Easter Sunday, we have an opportunity to say, Jesus, if you are the ultimate power, I want life with you. It's as simple as that. And maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time. You can say it again today. Jesus, you're the ultimate power and I want life with you. I want more life with you. I want to know your peace and your presence in my life. I want to know your power and I want to know your joy. And I want you to transform me to be more like you every single day. I love that line that says that he's ever so slowly forming us. Do you ever find that in yourself? Transformation sometimes happens really slowly. And God is ever so slow. He's just transforming us bit by bit. And I really, this morning, I just want to give you an invitation. And And maybe for you today, you go, this is actually, I was dragged to church. It's Easter Sunday, so I thought it was the right thing to do, or I'm here under duress or whatever. And it's like, you kind of, I mean, you have to listen to me for 20 minutes. So maybe this is a good opportunity to go, well, what do I believe about this? Am I up for the wrestle of working out what I believe? And maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you go, I'm not so sure that the gospel I'm following is that. I think I've created my own. And are you up for the wrestle of going, oh, Jesus, I actually want to follow you for you, not for what I've made you to be. I want to bow at the feet of the King and acknowledge that you are Lord over everything. You're powerful, but you stoop down to pick us up because you love us. And that's his invitation for you today, to be with him, not just in eternity, but today. Be with him today. And he says, I want to be with you today and every day. I want to be close to you, and I want to love you, and I want you to know me, and I want you to allow me into your life to just shape and transform and fill you with peace so you can become a person of love as you live with love, loving. So can I pray for you? Or you might worship. If you want to receive something from Jesus, I just encourage you to put your hands out. And when I hear my boys an Easter egg, they're very quick to put their hands out. And I think if Jesus says something good for you, I want to be quick to receive it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. It's beyond what we can imagine. The pain and anguish and the horrors that you experienced on our behalf. We just want to say thank you for that, Jesus. And thank you doesn't even go near what we could be saying to you, Lord, but we say thank you. Thank you that in that moment you showed us that you love us. You love the world. You love the ones that we think are unlovable. And so today, Jesus, we say thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice, and thank you that you defeated the power of sin and death. Lord, you defeated what we could not overcome. And so we say thank you. And today, Lord, whether it's for the first time or the 100th time, Lord, we choose to follow you, to say, Jesus, I want to walk with you. I want to know you. I want to experience your peace and your joy. I want to live a life that is transformed by you. And I say, thank you, Jesus. I say, thank you for your sacrifice and your love and your presence here today. So, Father, Lord, I just lift up everyone here today. I commit everyone here to you, wherever they're at on that journey. Lord, we thank you that your shoulders are big enough for doubt. You're not bothered by that. We thank you that you tell us to bring our troubles to you, our questions to you. Lord, we bring everything to you. We thank you that you love us, that you're for us. We thank you that you are a good God. Lord, we thank you for Jesus who kept pointing to the kingdom. We thank you that the kingdom is here and now. We praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday podcast. If you enjoyed it, either subscribe or follow on the podcast app that you use to keep up to date on when our next Sunday podcast gets released. Have a safe and blessed week.